Hello, I'm Monty Mills from the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, Division of Ophthalmology, and I've just returned from the 2012 meeting of the American Association for Pediatric Ophthalmology and Strabismus, and I'd like to give you some of the highlights from that meeting. First, one of the major named lectures, the Kostenbader lecture, was given by Michael Repka of Johns Hopkins University, and his talk was entitled Strabismus Among Aged Medicare Beneficiaries. And using the Medicare insurance data from 2002 to 2010, he was able to extract the prevalence of the diagnosis of strabismus and the incidence of strabismus surgery among over 65 Medicare beneficiaries. And this led to some interesting data. About 0.72% of Medicare beneficiaries were diagnosed with a strabismus diagnosis during that time, and about 0.016% of beneficiaries underwent some strabismus surgical procedure. About 68% of these procedures were horizontal muscle surgeries, and about a quarter involved adjustable suture technique. A quarter also had a history of prior muscle surgery. But one of the more interesting conclusions from the study was that both the incidence of the diagnosis of strabismus and the incidence of strabismus surgery were reduced for non-white beneficiaries, which seems to imply that there's a problem with access and completeness of diagnosis among non-white Medicare beneficiaries related to strabismus in the aging Medicare population. Another interesting paper about strabismus surgery at the meeting was given by Rutar et al., Human Error in Strabismus Surgery. And using information from a survey of current American strabismus surgeons, Rutar discovered that about a third of the surgeons reported significant intraoperative surgical errors for an overall incidence, which was estimated at about 1 in 2,500 strabismus surgeries. And the most common types of error were resection instead of recession of a muscle, that is the wrong type of surgery on the given muscle, the wrong muscle operated on, the wrong eye operated on, and the wrong patient, the surgical plan implemented on the wrong patient, which is certainly food for thought for strabismus surgeons trying to avoid errors. And factors that seem to be associated with these errors included surgeon inexperience, multiple operating rooms running simultaneously with a given surgeon, and the lack of marking or inadequate pre-surgical marking of the eye and the site of surgery. Another interesting surgical paper was given from the infant aphakia treatment trial. The one-year outcome of strabismus in the infants treated for monocular cataracts in the infant aphakia treatment trial was reported. And among the 114 infants who had been enrolled in the trial, approximately 70% developed strabismus. And the incidence of strabismus was statistically had no difference between those who were treated with contact lens correction or intraocular lens correction. There was a difference in those treated at less than 7 weeks of age who had a lower incidence of strabismus than those treated after 7 weeks of age for infantile cataracts. In other areas, retinopathy of prematurity was an interesting topic at the meeting. Two papers, one from my institution by Benenbaum et al., performance assessment of a potential growth-based ROP predictive tool, and one from Dr. Adams at the Moorfields Eye Institute looking at ethnicity in a model predicted risk of retinopathy of prematurity in infants and resulted in models which may allow us to do fewer eye examinations in low-risk babies. And so the potential to reduce the number of eye examinations and reduce the negative impact of excessive eye examinations on the very sensitive neonatal population is quite great through these risk prediction models for ROP. Finally, there was a paper on vision screening using a new device, which is not currently commercially available, but shows a lot of promise, the Pediatric Vision Screener, or PVS, by a company called Rebiscan, R-E-B-I-S-C-A-N, Incorporated. This is a new technique using a new previously unused screening tool, and the instrument was compared independently from the manufacturer in a high-risk population for amblyopia and strabismus. And the new device, the PVS, outperformed two devices that it was compared against, which have previously been among the better devices for vision screening in preschool infants, the Welchel and SureSight and the RANDOT preschool screening test. PVS, the new device, outperformed the other devices. So those were among some of the most interesting papers from the 2012 American Association for Pediatric Ophthalmology and Strabismus meeting in San Antonio, Texas. This is Monty Mills at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia for Medscape. Thank you.